Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
So Russia has launched this large-scale missile attack right across Ukraine, targeting the country's power infrastructure, according to reports this morning from Ukraine's energy minister. The country's state-owned energy operator has urgently introduced emergency power outages, and officials have been warning that Russia has been stockpiling missiles to mount attacks like these right throughout the winter. And this is the second such attack this month. Well, let's get the latest now. I'm joined on the line by Mariska Pedalko, who is a TV news anchor at Ukraine's Channel 1 Plus 1. Mariska, it's lovely to have you back with us on the programme, and I want to find out how you're getting on in your own, with your own personal situation, because it's a while since we've caught up on that front. But on the overall picture, I mean, we have heard, we've heard in this part of the world, Mariska, that a million people are without power today. President Zelensky has claimed now in the very recent, in the last couple of minutes or hour or so, that Russia has used cluster munitions. Is that right?
Yes, I saw the video that how it hit our power stations this morning. Unfortunately, you also had to stay at home for a while in a shelter because we heard explosions. But in Kyiv, we had air defense system that was able to just pull down the missiles, and nothing serious was hit in Kyiv. But in Western Ukraine, many people are without electricity because the Western Ukraine was targeted more than other regions this morning. Mm-hmm. So my girls had to stay some time at home and go to school only for their third lesson. And since my dad had scheduled treatment at the hospital, I had to be on time. And at hospitals, like at railway station, we normally have backup energy. So when everything is cut off, hospital is still functioning. So it's we've been used to this for the past 3 years. So,
But you could make it.
And unfortunately.
Yes,
I could take him because I had to ignore the alert at that point. And since many people were in shelters and underground metro stations, the road was clear, so I could be there on time. But, you know, sometimes at this point, you have to take this as a normality, that under shelling, sometimes you take your dad to hospital, because that's how the life it is in Ukraine right now.
Yeah, but
it's a new normality. I mean, we have explosions in the morning, we have coffee in the afternoon, and
But at this stage, I mean, since 2022, we have spoken regularly on the programme about your experience of this war. At this point, I would imagine you and everybody there must be just exhausted by it.
Very exhausted, very tired. But, you know, people, of course, have now mental issues because many people take pills just to feel better or go to psychologists. But sometimes it helps, sometimes it doesn't. I mean, any country at this stage of such a difficult war would be tired and exhausted. But I mean, we don't have an option. We still have to fight. I haven't seen my husband at home for 3 years because he's been off on the first day of the invasion to the front line. And it's difficult. So I take every time he comes back home for 2, 3, or even 10 days as a miracle, and just enjoy life when I can, you know, like every Ukrainian now.
Yes, to take the moments of joy and light when they come. And Mariska, the United States has pressed Ukraine to lower its military recruitment age to 18 from 25. This is to address the shortage of manpower. How do people feel about that?
It's a very unpopular topic. You know, my son turns 18 in 3 months. And it has all. He was never scared to go to the army. As a mother who already has a husband fighting, of course, I don't want my student to go to the army at this point. But when he turns 18, it's up to him to decide. I mean, he can volunteer to go at 18, but I would love him to graduate and to get the profession that would help him to fight, because he wants to be a drone engineer. That's why he decided to choose this major. So I wouldn't want him to fight at 18. Many people, unfortunately, get their children outside the country at 16 and at 17 years old, gets them enrolled into high schools in Europe so that they can go and study abroad and not to be in Ukraine. And it's a big issue. I mean, my daughter is a 10th grader and they already have boys who are living at 15 or 17, fearing that this law can be adopted. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it will be.
And did you ever consider having that? I'm sure you had that conversation with your son that he might leave and go to another European country.
Unfortunately, he didn't want to leave for a single day because my girls agreed to spend 1 year in the Czech Republic in Prague, and they decided to come back. But my child didn't want to go because he said that our dad is fighting. I want to help as much as I can in Kiev. I know it's a big topic for discussion. I mean, if you bring up your child in Ireland to love your country, to love Irish music, Irish song, Irish history, and to be a patriot of your country, but you never expect that this will be an issue if, God forbid, Ireland gets invaded and he wants to go and defend his country because he wants to live easy. What he says, I want to live in Ukraine or die in Ukraine, I mean. And I wouldn't imagine this like 3 years ago, we would live a life which was not very different from life in Ireland. We're not as much advanced, I mean, like you are, but still, I mean, we are a European country. Not only geographically, but by many merits.
Yeah, it's an incredibly difficult situation that you're facing. And I think as you describe it, there will be many parents imagining themselves here, you know, facing that. Well, it's not really a choice for you, is it? Because your son will be 18 and he can make up his own mind.
Yeah, he doesn't need my signature or my permit at 18. Nothing.
Mm-hmm. And Mariska, with your job as a TV news anchor, is there more pressure on you to allow your son and to have it, you know, to have it seen that your family are helping the war effort? Do you feel that pressure?
I think every celebrity or every well-known person in Ukraine feels much more responsibility. I mean, much more questions. What are you doing during war? What are your relatives doing? Did you flee the country or did you stay? Are you helping with donations, the army, or you don't? So, of course, I would be very much embarrassed if my child was of a serving age, which starts, as you said, from 25 years old and just fled the country. Yes, it would be a great embarrassment. And very many people, well-known people, are pressured or expected. And I think it's, you know, you're being loved by people, you're being supported by people in normal times. So when the war comes, you have to give this back. You have to give this support and love back to people by your deeds. You have to set an example. You have to be resilient. You have to help. So I understand that feeling, but it's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
You know, now every celebrity who gives a birth to a third child, because, you know, if you have three underage children, you can stay home for a man. So now every singer or famous person who gives a birth to a third child is being hated, just like they are doing this not to serve in the army. And it's a lot of pressure.
So it's become very divisive then.
Yes. But still, you know, I try to look on the bright side. I mean, all psychologists recommend to spend only 1 hour reading the news. With my profession and with your profession, we cannot afford this. So I try to find some joy in going sometimes to the cinema or to the theater or running. So I have to keep myself going because otherwise, you know, we don't have a chance, choice. We have to fight or we'll be occupied and just the country won't do this. Because if Russia stops fighting, it will stop fighting. But if Ukraine stops fighting, it stops existing.
And then, you know, as we talk today and we have these attacks on the energy infrastructure, and we've had this conversation just before other winters too. This was Russian strategy in 22 and 23 as well. You have the prospect of Donald Trump then coming into office. I mean, how do people feel going into this winter? What are the prospects of this war ending?
I think there will be 2 points. First point is psychological, or as a household, we are much more prepared for this winter because now almost every family is taking care about power banks, about some small power stations at homes. We plan what we do when we have power and when we don't have power. Some high-storied buildings, you know, if you have 25 or 26 or even 30 floors, it's very difficult to walk all the way up when elevators are not working because of the power cut off. So people just collected money in summer to provide with the house with the solar system, at least for the elevator, you know, or for water, for pumping water. Because if you live in high story buildings, the water is not being pumped if the power is off. Mm-hmm. So this is something we've learned only over the past 2 years. So we never cared about these things. You mean how you get water to the 15th floor? Yeah, you need to have power to pump it, you know.
It's so difficult.
People are now much more prepared. On the other hand, with Donald Trump, I think it will be just more certainty. Because with the Biden administration, which has been helping Ukraine a lot, it was never, I mean, enough to win. It was enough to survive, but never enough to win. So with Donald Trump taking the office in January, we'll see, I mean, whether it would end in a few months by our defeat, or we can, like he said yesterday, appoint his nominee for Ukraine and Russia issue. Keith Kellogg, I think his name, he said that making peace through power. And I think we're very optimistic about Trump's yesterday's nominee.
Yes, but you know, all of this talk about a negotiation over the land in Kursk, that Ukraine may have to do a deal with Russia. I mean, that's going to be a very difficult pill, a bitter pill for many Ukrainians to swallow, if that's what Donald Trump pushes for.
Yes, but it depends. I mean, what would be the status of those territories? I mean, I think maybe many Ukrainians at this point in 2024 can accept that we cannot fight back all of the territories just on the ground. So maybe some territories will be occupied and we can return them later when Putin dies or when something changes in Russia by diplomatic way in some 10 or 20 years. So it depends. I mean, if this deal is made about the compromising the territories, the most important issue would be what would be the status mm-hmm. of those territories. Will be they considered Russian or Ukrainian occupied territories?
Well, Mariska, we will leave it there mm-hmm. for now, but it's so lovely to talk to you, and we will keep in regular contact with you over the winter.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Nice to hear you.
Do take care, you and your family. Mariska Padalko there is a TV news anchor at Ukraine's Channel 1+1. Now, coming up next on the programme, we'll be talking about how to make your clothes last longer. Agnes Boucher-Hayes will be with us tackling stubborn stains even, and telling us the hand-washing hacks that she employs. That's after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.